In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading, Matthew, the 17th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, apart from the resurrection of Jesus, and maybe one or two other miracles, this event, the Transfiguration, has got to be one of the most spectacular events Peter ever witnessed. Just imagine. Imagine standing on that mountain. Imagine seeing Jesus in his divine glory. Imagine seeing him talking with Moses and Elijah, who have died and haven't been on earth for thousands of years, and now they're talking to Jesus. Man, it must have been incredible. Can you even imagine? Hearing it in St. Matthew's gospel is less impressive. Did you notice how Matthew sort of just narrates it very matter-of-factly? This happened, then this happened, then this happened. He doesn't even give you any extra comments like St. Luke does. At least Luke tells us the disciples were heavy with sleep, and that Peter, when he spoke, didn't know what he was saying. Matthew doesn't give us anything like that. His details are matter-of-fact, logical, ordinary. Lord, Peter says, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Why does he say that? Because Peter is impressed. He looks and he sees Moses and Elijah and Jesus' divine glory. And you can imagine how he starts connecting the dots, how he starts thinking about other mountains. Elijah, he encountered God's glory on Mount Sinai. And Moses? Moses did too. God's glory was on the mountain, and Moses would meet with God. And when he came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the skin of Moses' face, it shone like the sun as he began talking with the people because he had talked with God. He had not only given them the Ten Commandments, no, but the blueprints of the tabernacle, would God were dwell with them. And now, here stands Moses and Elijah and Jesus, whose face shines like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white as light. So Peter says, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. That is, let's stay here in tabernacles with God, and we can have a new Sinai. And then Matthew writes, while Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Roughly translated, God the Father says something like, Peter, shut up. Stop talking. You see Moses and Elijah on the mountain and Jesus' transfiguration, and you think you know. You think you know, but you don't. So stop. Stop talking and listen to my beloved Son, Jesus. Listen to what he is telling you. What was Jesus trying to tell Peter? Well, 6 days before this, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's right. And that's good. But when Jesus begins to tell the disciples what it means to be the Christ, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised? That's when Peter takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Peter says, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Roughly translated, no, Jesus, you're wrong. Stop talking. That's not what the Christ does, and that's not what this Christ is. You think you know, but you don't. So stop talking, Jesus, and listen to me. And if you don't know this, It's a profoundly stupid idea to try to tell Jesus that he doesn't know what he is talking about or doing, but you do. Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things that of God, but are on the things of man." Roughly translated, stop. Why are you talking like Satan? Why are you trying to prevent me from going to the cross like he did when he tempted me in the wilderness? Stop it. Stop talking. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me to Jerusalem, where I will be betrayed and suffer and bleed and die and rise again. Peter, suffer with me. Follow me unto death, and I will give to you the glorious crown of life. And if Jesus' rebuke to Peter wasn't hard enough, the Father rebukes Peter too. While Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And at this, Peter, James, and John were terrified, and they fell on their faces. But Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Rise, stop being afraid." Afraid of what? Afraid of the Father's voice? Yes, but so much more. Rise and stop being afraid of where I am leading you, of where we are going, down the mountain, to Jerusalem, to betrayal, to suffering, to death, and then to resurrection. That's where we're going. So rise and have no fear. Let us go down into the valley of the shadow of death. Taking up his cross, following Jesus, denying your own sinful flesh and desires, giving up your love of money and possessions, letting go of coveting and greed and envy and slander and pride and gossip, turning away from drunkenness, sexual immorality, fits of rage and selfish ambition, losing your life in this world, suffering with Jesus, for Jesus, and in Jesus, following him unto death, that's a fearful thing. That's terrifying. To let go of everything that brings you comfort and pleasure and happiness? Yes. Yes, it is. But it is also necessary. Because if you don't follow Jesus, if you don't believe in him, if you seek to save your life in this world by holding on to your sin and treasuring the things of this life more than God, then you will lose all for eternity. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? But if you deny yourself and take up the cross, if you let go of everything by faith and cling to Jesus to lose your life in this world, if you follow Jesus, believe in Jesus, suffer with Jesus, for Jesus, and in Jesus, then you will gain your life for all eternity. It may indeed be fearful and terrifying. But you know how this journey ends. It doesn't end in betrayal. It doesn't end in suffering. It doesn't end in sorrow or sadness. It doesn't end in evil. It doesn't end in death. That's why Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And that's what Peter does. He doesn't say anything until Jesus has risen from the dead. And then he records it in his own words. Our epistle reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, I was on the mountain. I heard the voice. I saw the vision of his glorious majesty. But we have the prophetic word made more certain, more firm, more reliable by the resurrection of Jesus. Peter writes this after Jesus has risen from the dead, so that Christians then and Christians now might have a similar experience as he did. So that Jesus might come to you and touch you, not on a mountaintop in isolation with a frail mortal body that would later die and be buried. No, on the plains of your ordinary, everyday life, in the community of the believers, with his immortal, imperishable, eternal, resurrected, sure and certain word of promise, touch you with thousands of years of prophetic history, saying to you, do you not remember when I said, let there be light, and it happened instantly? Do you not remember how I told Abraham he would be the father of nations, and he, after 20 years, was? Do you not remember how I told Israel that I would free them from Egyptian slavery after 400 years? And I did. Do you not remember how I told Israel after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years that they would inherit the promised land? And they did. Do you not remember how I told Israel that I would free them from Babylonian captivity? And I did. Do you not remember how the Father promised to send his offspring, a child, a son, to crush Satan's head thousands of years ago? And I came. How in the fullness of time I was born of Mary, born under the law to redeem you who are under the law. And did I not say to Peter that I suffer many things and at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that I must be killed and on the third day be raised to life? Behold, I was dead, but am alive forevermore, never to die again. Death has no longer any mastery over me, Jesus says. It has no power over me. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. No, wait, better yet. Let me touch you with my immortal, imperishable, eternal, resurrected, sure and certain word. I forgive you for your doubt and unbelief, for all your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are the Father's beloved Son, because I baptized you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in this vale of tears and this valley of sorrows we call life, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my crucified and risen hand. And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. And my rod and my staff, they will comfort you. And you will live, even though you die. Because everyone who looks to the Son, everyone who believes in me, Jesus says, has eternal life, and I shall raise them up on the last day. So rise, dear Christian. Rise and have no fear. Rise and, like Peter before you, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. Lose your life in this world. Let go of your sinful desires. Stop clinging to the treasures and possessions of this life. Cling to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Suffer with Jesus, for Jesus, and in Jesus. Suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish when compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us when Jesus comes to your grave and touches you again with his sure and certain perfected word of promise. Come with me, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. So, dear Christian, rise. Rise and have no fear. Fight the good fight of faith. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Why? Because you, like the disciples, and like your pastor, know how this journey ends. It ends with the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to Peter, to James, to John, to you, to all who have loved his appearing. This Christ has promised, and this he will do. To him be glory forever. Amen.